Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. It is another blessed day in Christ Jesus, another blessed Friday in Jesus' name. Welcome to all of you that are listening to this broadcast. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And I want to extend a welcome to all of you that is listening, no matter what part of the world you're listening to this broadcast at. Thank God for all of you in Jesus' name. May the Lord bless you, your families, and your loved ones in Jesus' name. And may the Lord bless us to give you the pure, unadulterated word of God today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are grateful for this door that you have opened and this opportunity you have given for us to do this in the name of Jesus. Glory to the living God. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. If you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us. The email address is godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD2MAN@gmail.com. Once again, or whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Glory to God. Amen, amen. For those of you that follow us on Blog Talk Radio, hey, you know it's Friday. And you know what that means, heart to heart with Brother Lee and the handmaidens. And we thank God for this day, this opportunity he has given unto them to present the gospel to those of you that are listening. Amen. Now all praise and glory and honor go to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he's worthy to be praised and to be glorified. Glory be to God. Now, as we await for my brother to come on, I want to just take this opportunity once again to thank God for all of you that are tuned in this broadcast. Perhaps there are some of you who are first-time listeners. I want to welcome you. I want to welcome all of you who are listening to the broadcast here in the United States. Welcome. I want to extend a welcome to those of you that are listening in Iraq. Welcome to another God's Word to Man broadcast, as well as Canada, Algeria, United Kingdom, and all the nations and countries that I have not named that's listening to this broadcast. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. So, praise be to God, glory to the Most High God, and our job is to present the gospel of Jesus Christ unto you, the listener. Praise be to God, and let you choose. Amen. Glory to be to God. Those of you who have been listening, me and my other brother, Brother Robert Gross, we've been on these past few nights doing a series on Christian Science. We'll continue on Sunday night as we come with another part concerning Christian Science, what they teach and what they believe. Praise be to God. So, once again, another blessed day. I say unto you, rejoice. Rejoice, hallelujah, in the Lord. I know that, you know, you're experiencing difficulties and troubles. And I know some of you have been waiting for the manifestation of what you pray to God about. Let me give you a word of encouragement. It's going to manifest. Amen. Rejoice. I say this to you, rejoice. The Lord was just, he has been dealing with me on that for the past 2 days about rejoicing in him. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. You know, sometimes we miss out and lack understanding. We don't understand that, you know, we're our biggest hindrance of our blessing. Now, Satan hinder, don't get me wrong, and he'll try to do all this thing he can hinder, but we the one many times can cause the door to be shut closed, through our unbelief and going around moping and complaining and all that. You know, it's not going to, quote, just open the way. And for the last couple of days, the Lord has been dealing with me about rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord. Have joy in the Lord. Amen. You know, the Bible says count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or you're surrounded with different tests. Okay. And I know there's some, if we were thinking in a carnal mind, we would say, how is it that I'm supposed to rejoice when all this stuff is coming against me? Well, here's the thing we must remember, and God has been putting my mind on. You know, God has been putting my mind on the reward. You understand what I'm saying? when your mind is on the reward, what you're going to get for believing God through the trial, what's going to come forth for God from the trial, that will make you smile, amen? That glory, that'll make you rejoice. I believe that many times where we fail at is that we don't think about the reward. We don't think about, you know, that what we're going through, what Jesus is going to give is going to be greater than what we're going through. I believe that many times we forget that. I know I've been guilty of it many times myself. I have to say that for myself. The many times I forget that what he give is greater. You know, that I've said it before in the broadcast, and I say it again. God is not going to let you outdo him. He's not going to let you outgive him, okay? So, you know, for example, I want to use an example with finances. If the Lord came to you and said, I want you to give $500 such and such a thing, okay, and you do it, understand this, that your return that he's going to bring back to you is going to be greater than $500. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because if it was less than that, you would be able to boast and say, oh, hey, wait a minute, Lord. You had me to give more, and I got less back. There's something wrong with that. And he's not going to let it happen. When you're going through tests and trial, and, you know, we're called to walk by faith through these trials, and you do it, your reward is going to outshine your trouble. You understand what I'm saying? But, see, it's up to us as the individual to put our mind on that. And so what God does, he gives us a nudge and a push and tells us to praise me and give me glory and honor, you know. And for now, you know, the past couple of days, he really been dealing with me about rejoicing, having joy in the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, letting me know that he got me. You understand what I'm saying? You know, when your mind is put on that, when your praise towards the Lord is on that, it will cause you to rejoice, okay? Hallelujah. You know, it'll cause, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that some things don't affect us. I'm not saying that we're robots. Neither is God saying we're robots. But we have to choose what we're going to let rule. Is it going to be the joy or is it going to be the depression? Okay? And God would tell you to rejoice, and when he tell you that, you know, you'd be looking at what you're going through right now, you'd be like, how can I rejoice? I lost this, I lost that, I lost this, I lost that. How are you telling me to rejoice? Because when he tell you that, what he have for you, if you will hold on, it's going to outlast or outdo your trouble. Now, when you can put your mind on that, that will cause you to rejoice. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. You know, sometimes I would think, you know, I'd like to be with the Lord in heaven right now. You know, all this trouble and stuff down here, you know, that's why the saints that's going on to the Lord, I know they're in a better place. You know, sometimes you think about, you might even get jealous, man. They up there, and they ain't have to worry about no trouble, and we down here going through this. But thank God that we can rejoice in the Lord that he has something greater for us. Amen. Now I'm going to patch my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
Oh, good evening, brother. God bless
God
you.
Bless.
And your family and your loved ones and your part of the vineyard. And thank God for Jesus smiling on us one more day. Our loved ones, family, our community. The Lord has smiled on us. We acknowledge the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Father has sent him. And his love and mercy and grace has come to obtain victory for us. So we are grateful for another opportunity. This is Handmaiden Night, especially talking, ministering to the great women, mothers and wives and ambassadors, missionaries and evangelists among the women. We acknowledge them wherever you may be. To give hope and strength and courage to you in your fight for your lives, for your faith, for your family, and for your nation. So we're just grateful for the women in particular. We acknowledge them as being part of the backbone of the body of Christ. So we love you today, and we're standing with you through the grace of our Lord Jesus. Okay, brother, how is do it with you there in your area? Is that you all been getting some showers of blessings upon the earth?
Oh, man, what you talking about? The last 2 days, today and especially yesterday, the Lord was dealing with me about rejoicing in Him. And the Spirit of the Lord was on me real strong as I was praying, and He was dealing with me about that. Because, brother, we think on the negative a lot, when we're going through, and we don't think about what He's going to give is going to outdo the thing that we're going through. You know what, brother, that'll make you rejoice, amen? Amen. That'll make you rejoice if you put your mind on
it. Yeah.
Yeah, we have a lot to rejoice the Lord today and every moment of the day. The King of Israel talks about why he was continued in joyfulness, and how we, especially in the latter days, that we that are part of the kingdom of God should rejoice in every day. Our King is working His work on His mighty hand, and He is bringing forth His kingdom with power, and we should rejoice and be exceedingly glad every day of our lives. But He made us to know joy and victory.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
But He made us to know joy in the midst of the storm. He didn't make us just to know joy when there was no waves on the sea. In particular, He made us to know joy when the sea was roaring. And that's the kind of joy that operates by faith and relying upon Him. And we can rejoice because He has designed victory for us no matter what happens upon the earth. He has purpose and plan, no defeat. He's only planned victory for His saints. So they, in Him, He has designed and purpose victory. The storm is not to take our joy. So if it takes your joy, you have a limited joy and make it an earthly type thing. But if you have a joy found from the Lord God, no matter what storm comes up, no matter what wind blows, no matter what attacks the enemy come, I will rejoice and be exceedingly glad because the Lord God has planned victory and triumph for me and has not planned any defeat. So I'm not looking for it.
Brother, you sounded kind of far off there.
I guess I'm going to have to get back on.
Well, I can hear you clearly now.
I'm going to step out and get back on.
Yeah, I can hear you real clearly now.
Huh?
I can hear you real clearly now. Okay, his call had dropped, but he will be right back. Praise be to God. And those of you who've been following us on these last past broadcasts, you know this has been a situation going on here. And like I said, there's no doubt in my mind that Satan is lurking around in these breakups and hindrances and all this. So glory be to God. But our God is greater. The Word of God tells us that greater is He that is in thee than he that is in the world. So our God is greater. And we are grateful to the Lord Jesus Christ to be able to serve the true and living God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. He's worthy, people, to be praised and to be glorified. Let us magnify the name of our God. Amen. We thank God for all of you that have been praying for us. on Blog Talk Radio because we need your prayers. Amen. Most definitely, as we deliver the gospel of Jesus Christ, our enemy who is lurking out there, okay, seeking whom he may devour, and coming against us as we give the word of God. So, hey, we need every artillery, every weapon we can get, and we need the sword of the Spirit as we have from the Lord, and we need the prayers of the saints, amen? So I ask that you continue to pray for us, because I'm here to tell you that it is needed, okay? We're not, I mean, you hear us do these broadcasts, but not one time have we come to you and said, hey, we don't need the prayers of the people, amen? Now, I'm going to patch my brother back on here.
All right.
Amen,
let's
brother.
Obey. Let's know the joyful sound and glory with the saints. We glory. We honor it.
Yes,
and lift up our faith because the Lord God has not planned, the Lord God has not purposed any defeats for our lives. He has not purposed. He has not designed any failures for our lives. My expectations is what the word of God said. I embrace it. For the Lord
Amen.
God, the Lord God, my Redeemer, even Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, has not planned any defeat. When he rose from the dead, he defeated the last enemy, which is death, Satan, and the grave,
Amen.
And said, all
Amen.
Authority and power invested in me. Therefore, I have not planned any defeats. I have not purposed any defeats. I have not designed any defeats for my people. But I have designed complete victory because I have won the victory. I have won
Amen.
The victory, and I have conquered. I didn't halfway conquer. I didn't almost conquer. I didn't almost defeat the devil. I didn't just almost defeat the grave or death. I didn't almost took the keys in death from Satan. I snatched them and said, give me here. I broke the bands of death. I crushed Satan
Amen.
Under feet. And I rose with complete power and victory. And I say unto my people, come seat with me. Come run with me. Come with know me. For in all these things you are more than a conqueror. In all of these things, Romans 8 said, more than a conqueror. We are more. Said the word of God, the gospel, we are more. It is written in the scriptures and cannot be broken. We are more. The word is going out of his mouth. It need not turn void in our lives because the Lord Jesus, at the right hand of the Father, is interceding for us that we are more than conquerors. So today, there is no storm, no chaos, no confusion, no distress greater than his victory. The devil is a liar. I speak to the winds of adversity. I speak to the devil of confusion and sorrow and grief. I command them to obey, to hear the word of the living God, my Redeemer, my Lord, my Jesus, my King, my Deliverer, my High Priest, has not designed any victory for his redeemed, blood-washed, sanctified people. So I'm not going to accept it. Don't
Amen.
Care how dark it get, how troubles it get, how much attacks come. I will not accept any defeats. I may get knocked down, but I'm up. I may be run down, but I rise again. I would accept
Amen.
No defeat against my body, my soul, my home, my life. My God is ruling in the throne, not Satan. He's under feet. He's been crushed. Jesus bore principalities and power. So I declare, I speak, with divine authority, I say it because the Lord God cannot lie. It is written.
Amen.
Satan is the father of lies. John, Jesus, out of his own mouth, in the 8th chapter of John, he says, Satan is a murderer, a killer, a liar, and a deceiver. And I'm speaking to that liar. I'm speaking to the storms, the trouble, the distress, the sickness, the pain, the agony, the distress. I speak by him that is risen from the dead, the Holy One of Israel, you cannot have power over me unless I give you power. You cannot have dominion over me because I'm seated in Christ in heavenly place. I will not give it to you. I'm taking it back. I'm taking it back in the thought of the Son of God risen with power. I'm taking back my freedom, my liberty, and my joy today because I was made to know joy and to know victory. So therefore, it is written. And heaven backs up what's written when we believe. The angels are backing it up. There's millions of angels waiting to assist us. The Holy Spirit is there. The blood of Jesus speaks. The blood of Jesus is the DNA of the Father. It speaks. It's alive. The word of God is a living flame of fire. There is no weapon formed against us. Isaiah the prophet said, there is no weapon formed against me. Amen. No weapon formed by devil, demon, witch, warlock, man, the might, the storm, the valley, the test, nor distress. No weapon formed against me. No weapon sent by demons, devils, sorcerers, witches, warlocks, storms, volcanoes, armies of men, test, temptation. No weapon. No weapon stronger than his promise. No weapon formed against me shall not succeed nor prosper. And every tongue of the devil, of man, of might, that rise against me, I say what the word of God said, the will of the Father says. No weapon formulated by man, by devil, by demon, by storm, by stress, shall not win, shall not conquer, shall not prosper. Every tongue that rises in judgment, I condemn it. It's up to me to speak. It's up to me to say what the Lord say. It's up to me. He's given me authority to have dominion, so I must say what the Lord said for it to be done. Oh, this is a great day. A great day. Now, I know people looking at the chaos of the world, but I'm looking at the King of Kings. You look at the world, I'm looking at the King of Kings. You're looking at the sorrow and the grief and chaos. I'm looking at the victory of the King, the promise of the King. Why should I look at the day of the chaos, just look at the chaos of the world? I look at the chaos of the world, and I pray, and I intercede. But I declare the victory. I declare what he's won for me. He's already won complete victory. He's going to seal it at his coming. Jesus, so I'm rejoiced because he made me to know joy. Now the storms that comes to blow. The earth will shake. Watch, David said, I fear not. And I want to ask this question here, brother. I was... few minutes ago, I came to my mind about the disability hindering power, the hindering power. And these words, you know, words, the word of God is classified as a seed. Everything that basically the Lord in the earth is a seed, is a seed. And so the word of God is declared, the gospel is spoken of as a seed. Now, Satan plants seeds, man plants seeds, and the Lord Jesus plants seeds. His seed is is the gospel and his promises and his revelation of truth. Amen. Now, look what it says. The four adversaries that's going to fight against the believers is called fear, doubt, unbelief, and unworthiness, and unforgiveness. Now, these are the other side that will be used to stop us. Fear, doubt, unbelief, unworthiness, and unforgiveness. Now, Satan is going to use these against, and he's going to use these four tools. Fear, doubt, unbelief, unworthiness, and unforgiveness. And he will water these seeds until they grow up in your life if you allow them. Now, on the other side of that coin is this. Redemption, recovery, reconciliation, and restoration. Now, look, this is what Jesus planted for us. Recovery, complete recovery. We complete redemption, reconciliation, and restoration. That's my cup of tea, and that's my bread that I'm going to eat on. The other seeds, I'm going to cast those seeds out of my mind. I'm not going to even let it give them a chance to grow and get into my heart or my spirit. I'm casting them out when they knock at the door. I'm going to put them away.
Amen.
I will not be ruled by circumstances or chaos or circumstances over my life. Hallelujah. No matter what happened in the boat, Jesus had authority, and the disciples did not understand how it works, so they were fearful. And they saw the water getting in the boat, and the boat seemed to be sinking. But Jesus was at rest and calm. I said Jesus was in the boat resting and calm because he had assurance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The disciples did not know the word of real assurance yet. They were still in the learning stage. So when the water seemed to overcome them, because that's what it seems to be, they couldn't see beyond their immediate circumstance. They could not look because they were looking to their natural senses. But if they had looked to the eyes of faith and the authority, they would have been at peace too and said, storm, waves, waters, you have no dominion over me. Who's in the boat? Jesus in my boat. And his promises are around about me. So why should I fear? God has not given me the spirit of fear. God has not given me the spirit of worry. God has not given me the spirit of anxiety. God has not given me the spirit of distress. God has not given me the spirit of unrest. Only for the burdens and the work of the Lord. So what he has given us, complete redemption from the curse of Adam and the curse of the law. Recovery from all the after effects of Adam's sin. He has reconciled me to the Father, and he restored all that Adam lost. It belongs to me. When did I start reaping it? Now. The kingdom of God is now. The gospel is now. The dominion begins now when we reign in Christ and take dominion. We rule and reign in Christ now because the kingdom of heaven is come now, not in its fullness, but it's come now. So let's walk like kingdom children, dominion, rule, and subdue. Satan wants us to think that he is really in charge of everything and has control over everything. Yeah, he ain't supposed to be over the saints of God. No, he's supposed to be over the world and his children, but not the saints of God. The kingdom of God has come, and Jesus said, pray that you'll know the power of the kingdom. And Satan and problems cannot have dominion unless you give it, unless you let the water stay in the boat. So get your gospel and get your gospel bucket and throw the water out and said, get out and speak to the waves.
Amen.
Speak to the storm. You know, saints still haven't understood their authority when the Bible said in Ephesians, he's risen from the dead, and we are seated. We died with him, and we are seated with him. Ephesians 2, we are seated. The word seated means rest with him in authority, same like authority and dominion. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places, so we have the authority to speak. The enemy will plant in your mind seeds of doubt, fear, unbelief, unworthiness, unforgiveness to lock you down. But here comes redemption when Jesus said it's finished. So when Christ said it's finished, hallelujah, recovery is come. Reconciliation is come. Restoration is come. I have purchased a victory. If you don't believe it, look at my back. Jesus said, look at my hands. Look at my feet, Thomas. Look at Thomas. When Thomas come to us, we said, we rebuke Thomas. When the Thomas come to our mind, we rebuke Thomas. That's why Jesus said to Thomas, feel me and touch me. Because he had to feel and touch. He had to get some people got to feel and touch. But they got to get beyond the feeling and the touch. They got to believe and trust and know that I am God. And know I am God. I'm Jehovah Jireh. I'm Jehovah Banner. I'm Jehovah Shalom. I'm Jehovah Nisi. I'm your salvation, Jesus the Christ. All right, it's a wonderful day. It's a blessed day. God has not decreed any, no evil for his people. All this stuff and chaos in the world, the saints, they got their mind and eyes on the wrong stuff. They're in the kingdom.
citizens of the kingdom of the King. Why should they fear? They may fear and be concerned about the lost and the nations, but why should they live in fear? They should live in joy. Amen. Well, anyway, I just went on and rejoiced today and today, I thank God. And, you know, I was talking to this guy at the bus. I've been riding the bus for a reason. I talked to these people all on the bus, and the guy was sitting there, and out of the day, I get a chance to communicate since I've been riding the bus for a while. So I'm mindful about losing your first love. When you first come to Jesus, you're running for the Lamb. Hallelujah. When your first love and your first feet to hit, when you the Lamb of God, you put running in your feet, clapping in your hand, and joy in your shout. And you got to tell somebody that Jesus saved, Jesus redeemed. This is your day of decision. So at the bus sign, going back to my first love, often we get quite religious and forget we are witnesses. We are his witnesses, verbally as well as example. So I said, sir, do you know? And he was an elder gent, like I am. And I was telling him the good news, do you know? And he said, yeah. I said, but do you know the good news? Do you know what the angel was singing about in Jerusalem? That which is born of you in Jerusalem is Christ the Savior. And I began to, you know, share a little bit with him. Well, yeah. But we got to give him the good news anyway.
Yeah.
So I ain't got time to be sorrowful and pitiful. I ain't got time to be cast down. I got to give him the good news. My shout, I can't get distracted by the trouble and distress. I got to give open my mouth. I got to open my life and give him the good news that the angels were singing about to the shepherds in the field. All right. Now, redemption, the five R's, redemption, recovery, reconciliation, and restoration. Satan hates these seeds. If you plant these seeds and water these seeds in your life and open your mouth, this is why people don't understand this. There's power. There is victory in your mouth to the saints. There is authority and dominion, citizenship, kingdom power in your mouth from your heart. That's why Satan is very afraid when you open your mouth with faith and look at the storms and difficulty and begin to declare. See, as we declare, it shall be. If we don't declare nothing, if we declare sorrow, weakness, and failing, that's what we're going to get. We shall have what you say. That's what Mark said, right?
Amen.
If we can listen to the opportunity of Satan take over our minds, looking at circumstance and bad problem, then that's what you're going to get more of that. But if you begin to open your mouth with recreated power and begin to declare, because we are sons of God, we're made in his image and likeness. Do you know when you're recreated in Christ, you're made in his image and likeness? Ephesians chapter 1 and 2, we are in his likeness. So we can declare as sons of God. Romans says, we heirs and joint heirs. What are we heir to? We're heir to citizenship, to relationship, to fellowship, to dominion and power. But unless we start exercising, well, I don't feel like, well, keep on waiting on feeling. Keep on waiting on feeling. Jesus told you to wait on feeling. Did he say wait on feeling or did he wait on faith? Well, you know, I don't feel like the, you know, the problem, the devil is working on your emotions. One of the things that Satan defeats of us, he uses our emotions. Oh, I just feel like everybody gonna go through the feeling area. Oh, I feel like that's why we can't live by feelings, our circumstances. The just shall live by faith. Let's say the just shall live by faith. The faith of the living God. The just shall live and walk by faith. The justified ones in Christ shall live and overcome and have victory by the faith that comes out of our mouth and out of our lives. Now, the reason we don't do that daily, because the devil knows how and has a lot of practice about dealing with our emotions. And he knows he can defeat most people and lock them down by using their emotions or their feelings. So we being humans, being full of feelings, and we let feelings control our lives instead of faith. Instead of faith. That's why Jesus didn't look at the circumstances and he didn't get filled with doubt and fear and unbelief. He spoke and declared what his father said. Storm, you're not in charge. Waves, you're not in charge anymore. You're not in dominion over my life. Hallelujah. Amen. Get the seeds of doubt, fear, and unbelief out of the boat. And the disciples had not learned that yet. So Jesus said, oh, ye of little faith, why did you fear? Why did you fear? Why were you afraid? That's the enemy's way of locking you down. But on the other side, when Jesus redeemed us from the curse of Adam, the curse of sinful nature, and the curse of the law, he made us sons. He made us sons and daughters. He didn't just make us servants only. He made us sons and daughters and heirs. Heirs to what? Heirs to who? Heirs to what? Joint heirs together with him. Well, see, I understand. That's why I don't like too many religious terms like, oh, I'm a church member. The devil's never afraid of people that say, I belong to a church or something. He's never afraid of them. If that's all they got to say, he doesn't worry about that. You know, they don't have any sense of who they are, what their authority they're in. Well, I belong to the church. I've been baptized. You know, he ain't scared of you. He can walk up and down your back all day long. Hallelujah. But when you say I'm an heir and a joint heir with Christ, I'm seated with Christ in the Holy Ghost and through the blood of Jesus, when you begin this word, Ephesians 2 said, when you begin to declare that, then he's going to wake up, I know I'm in trouble. I know I'm in trouble. The devil's the problem. Speak to the wind. Speak to the storm. Keep declaring it. Keep speaking it. Keep declaring it. Go to bed declaring it. Getting up saying it. At the breakfast declaring it. Going to work declaring it. Come back home declaring it. Stand your ground. Stand your ground. Stand still. And see the salvation of Yah. All right, brother, okay. All right. Recover, redemption, reconciliation, restoration. All those words, I had to get that out.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Amen. Now, do we know why the Lord tried, why he let things try our patience? Do we understand why the saints must be tried and their patience must be tried and why the Lord will let tests, storms, and difficulty arise to try us, to test us, to prove us, and bring us closer to more victory? See, the more storms you have, the more the glory God can get. The little storms you got, the little he can get. But he still loves you and never quit loving you. But the storms and difficulty is to show up that he's alive in your life and that you believe. That's why the more storms you have, the saints have, that the Lord permit, it's for the greater glory and the greater victory and the greater testimony. So thank God for the storms. Hallelujah. Thank God for the winds, for the trying of your faith. Peter said that trying your faith is what? It's like purifying gold in fire. Thank God.
Amen.
When we start rejoicing in the storms, brother, we know we're progressing and growing. When I start rejoicing at the storms, then I know I'm making progress. I'm maturing. Hallelujah. But if I'm going to be a sweetened water saint, if I'm going to be a lemonade saint, then I got to get a little further. No, I ain't talking about no cut of salt and no Jim Beam now. No. We're not talking now. Amen. Because as soon as problems come, many people won't go to Jim Beam and cut a salt, brother, and Wild Irish Rose. And then to get the weed and start huffing and sitting in the drugs. But now we got a drug culture. We got a drug demon infested culture because I'm just trying to cool out, Brother Nate. Man, it's just hard, you know. I'm just trying to get a little relief here, bro. And Devil had me that reefer, and he had me that cocaine, and gave me this cut of salt, and I'm cooling out. Yeah, that's the devil answer to death and destruction. Amen. All right. I'm just listening to my music, Brother Nate. I'm listening to the music from hell. I got my radio tuned to hell. Okay, then. Let's move on up. Know that we are redeemed, and we're listening to the music and the songs of deliverance. The songs of deliverance. When you're going through, the Lord will give you a song in the morning. When you get through praying, he'll put a song in your heart. That song is to give you the victory. That's why when you pray through, you'll get a song. You'll get a prophecy. You'll get a hallelujah. You'll get an intercessing Holy Ghost prayer making. Listen, when you really pray through, God will give you a song in your heart. And you ain't got to be no singer. I'm not a singer. I sing. When he give me that song, that means deliverance on the way. So I'm going to keep saying that song. Worthy is the Lamb. Holy is the Lamb. Victorious is the Lamb of Calvary. He came to set me free. He redeemed me on the tree. The blood was given life and hope eternity. Jesus coming, he's rescued me out of the prison of the enemy, doubt, fear, and unbelief. I will rejoice in him. So, okay, Brother Watt, so how's the wind going down there?
A little missing in action. But the humidity has calmed down some. It's not like it was 2 or 3 weeks ago. Well, you know how Mississippi gets as humidity-wise. If you didn't have no water in you, Mississippi will let you know.
Oh.
If you ain't drinking enough water, Mississippi will show you.
Come on, Mississippi, because the Mississippi is going to get dry. It's soon going to be dry. Hallelujah. So I wonder what y'all going to do then when the river starts snaking up. And praise the Lord. But you know the Lord has promised us something, and we need to look to the promises. That's why we don't need to fear. When you start looking and meditating on the promises, your joy will rise up. The world is looking at disaster and sorrow and grief and hopelessness. Where I'm looking at, the King and the Kingdom of God, which I have my citizenship in. And I see the promise of God that he said, in the times of famine, you need not fear nor worry. When the food shortage come, brother, and the water dry up, now, and when the plagues come, he said, I need not fear.
Amen.
I need to sing my songs of deliverance. And Psalms 35 and Psalms 37 talking about through the age, his voices shall be heard, and the songs of deliverance to the redeemed. Sing every day the songs of deliverance, because the world has the songs of defeat and sorrow and grief. But the Lord has given the redeemed, let the redeemed say so. That's why you got to keep saying so. Hallelujah. I notice when I get up at about 5 o'clock in the morning sometime, and sit at my table and make my declaration. And when I get slack and start making my declaration, you don't need to do it today. You don't need to do it today. I know you're making progress. When that mind comes and don't do it, you don't need to do it no more. I know the enemy is getting upset. When that thought comes to me, you're not going to get anywhere. You don't have to say that the declaration today. I know the devil is worried now. He's upset. Amen. So I begin to sit at that table and make my declaration and decrees. Hallelujah. I make my deliverance and decrees. I don't do too much praying during the first part of it. I do declaration and decrees and commitments. When I make my definite commitment and I join with the saints all over the world and I name the places I'm joining with them, we become an honor, an army. So every day when I join together with my brothers in Iowa and Ohio and in Hong Kong and South Korea, then the army get together. And we join together by faith, and every morning, and I begin to put the devil, witches, and warlocks and prophets on notice. And I declare. That's what the saints got to do. They got to unite. They don't have to be together physically, but they are united in Christ. All right. Amen. This old telephone act like it want to get all shorty, so man.
Oh, yeah.
I want to read something important about restoration. Let's go to the 15th chapter to our sisters out there and the women of God, wherever you may be. You may have the freedom and liberty to what they do, Instagram us, or Block Talk Network have a call sign, as they say. You can email us, you can Instagram us, you can actually call on the telephone, and you may leave a question or a prayer request, or you just might want to join us. We're on every night. One of the brothers are declaring the good news around the world. And hopefully next week and next year, we'll be expanded in many nations. The Lord would open doors. Hallelujah. And we would declare a new season, but it's not going to be like the last season. This season is coming up. It's going to be a season of mighty demonstrations. This season coming in is going to be a mighty season like Elijah. It's going to be a mighty demonstration. It's not going to be, it's going to be mighty declarations, mighty decrees in the name of Jesus and the word of God. It's going to be like Elijah, the spirit and power of Elijah. Hallelujah. The Lamb of God. As we come into this season, because this is a shifting time. I told 2019, I said this, 2020 was going to be the sifting. It's going to be the mighty shifting of nations, of the church world, and this of the White House, and the world is going to so shaken during the I saw past August. I saw the 2020, a great shifting and a great sorrow, but a great shifting and shakening. And an awakening going to begin. And the thing was going to shift. There's going to be a spiritual shift as well as a natural governmental shift. Hallelujah. And the saints has going to feel this as well as the sinners and the government. It's going to be the sickness. It's going to be persecution. It's going to be environmental. It's going to be in the water waves and the money and relationship, because the saints, either they're going to draw and unite together, because Satan is uniting his army, and spiritually and physically. And we have to get our sword and armor and our hearts set on fulfilling God's mission. Now, all of the problems that come against the saint is to get them off of their focus, off their attention. Now, let's read something in the 15th chapter about restoration. In the 15th chapter of Luke, and I was reading something in the first chapter of the Revelation to John on the Isle of Patmos, when Jesus, the glorified Jesus, appeared to him, and he told him to write to seven churches in Asia. And one of the first churches, he said, write to the church of Ephesus. And we're going to find out about recovery and restoration and redemption and how Satan will work and work against you to make you feel like you're less than nothing and useless. And he knows how to work on the human, because we are human and he is spirit. And he's been around a long time, and he knows how to work on the human part of weakness. And he's going to try to wear the saints out. Revelation said he's going to come to wear the saints out. He's going to try to wear you down to the ground. Hallelujah. But he's not going to succeed. He's not going to be able to succeed. In the 15th chapter of Luke, we see a story, and we go to the letter of Revelation that John was to write to the church at Ephesus. In the word of the Lord, this angel's message, in the fifth message, when failure had come to the first group of restoration people who has failed God, the leadership has failed, or has thoroughly failed. When the restoration came and the priesthood authority, they failed. They utterly failed. The Ephesus church, and now we're going to find out the Lord is saying something about this conditions about what happened when failure overtake. Failure overtake. Temporary failure. In the 15th chapter, whenever the believer faces a disappointment or a failure or a stumbling, Satan jumps on him with all his guns to make him, her, or a nation feel so unworthy of God's love and grace. And he pounces on them. And he used other people to pounce on them. And he'll use the church world to pounce on them. And he'll use the government to pounce on them. And he used whenever a Christian person fail or stumble, you see the world just trump on that minister. They just, oh, they go laughing. The devil just turned everybody, all the guns against him so that he feels like he can't recover, or they can't recover, or that nation can't recover, or that community can't recover. And this is Satan's strategy. If you make a mistake, like Ephesus, the different groups, Satan had a plan and a purpose, as a Brother Crockett said, trump on you to make sure you don't get up and rise. But recovery and redemption is in God's plan. I said recovery and redemption and reconciliation is in the Lord's plan. That's in God's plans. No matter what man say, God is a God of mercy. He's slow to anger, quick in mercy. I said he's slow to anger, not willing that any should be destroyed. He's quick in mercy and kindness to the broken heart. Now, I want to read something in the 15th chapter about recovery and restoration before the saints get on. Why it's important we carry the message of restoration and recovery to all people. Hallelujah. You remember when Peter denied the Lord three times, Brother Nate?
Amen.
He denied him three times. It's really important that we understand what that was speaking to and what it means, because it goes beyond that moment. It goes all the way to the church world and to the saints. Not only to Israel, the natural Israel, but it speaks to the adopted son, spiritual Israel also. Because Israel, as a nation, in the first three times when they were overcome by Babylon and Rome, when they rejected the prophets and Moses and rejected Jesus and rejected the apostles as a whole. And these three things were fulfilled. But the Lord said to Israel, out of those three seasons and through nations that overcome when they had killed the prophets, rejected his law, and rejected the Lord Jesus, and rejected his apostles, he said in Isaiah 54, I will not forget you, even though you have rejected me, you have turned your face away from me, I will recover thee. You're written on the palms of my hand, I cannot forget my love towards you. It's hard when people fail to think that Jesus loves them. No, he's not saying I love the failure, but he said, I still love you. My love is to you. Hallelujah. Now, restoration and reconciliation. Israel kept doing this over and over again as an example. Peter came, he was the number one apostle, and there was something that had to take place in his life before the Lord God could really use him. Three times he denied. Now let's go to the fifth chapter of Luke, and let's look at this story again at verse 12.
Fifth chapter, Luke.
15 chapter of Luke. 15 verse 12. 15 chapter of Luke.
Okay. 15 chapter Luke verse 12. The word of God
see.
Yeah, okay. Just in the gospel message of Luke,
right.
Chapter 15, verse
Luke
12.
Chapter 15, verse 12. And the younger of them said to his father, Father,
the beginning of verse, yeah, go ahead. It was actually verse 11.
Verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's house, of my father's, have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said,
now, three things,
father,
I want to stop there. I want to stop there. Underline the three things. The three things that's going to set the character of the redeemed believers in these last days, the church of the living God. It says the father did what? Three things. He saw him what?
He had compassion on him.
What else?
And ran and fell on his neck and kissed him.
Three things. He didn't turn his nose up at him, did he?
No, he didn't.
Hey, you stinking rasta, you know I tell you that you no good. Now, notice the difference. What the Lord is speaking through this. He's not only speaking to Israel, but he's speaking to the church world. Now, Israel turned their nose up at the Most High Jehovah. And they kept turning their nose up. You know, and all through the Bible, falling after whores of other nations. They became a whore after other nations in idolatry. And they kept turning their nose up at Jehovah and walking away and falling after strange gods and disregarding his law, his love and covenant for them. And they stunned their nose at the great job, the great God Yahweh. And finally, you would think that he would be through with them forever. But Isaiah 54 and Ezekiel says, 37, can these bones live again? Now, after all of these thumbing the nose of Jehovah and walking away and becoming a whore, that means aligning with the gods of other nation, and a whore's forehead, Isaiah called them having a whore forehead, hard in their hearts, and shunning the Most High God and his law. They did this constantly all through the Bible. They stoned the prophets and Moses and Jesus and the apostles. And now we're down to a period of time where the son wasted, Israel wasted their lives and wasted their opportunity of covenant and rejected their Redeemer. But here comes the time that the Lord turns to the Gentiles, turn to the church of Jesus Christ, the redeemed. Now this son, the redeemed church of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. Let's read on. And the Lord saw the return of his beloved firstborn.
Israel was God's firstborn as a nation, as a people, the Hebrew. The Hebrew people, they were his firstborn. The Bible said they were his firstborn, my firstborn son, Israel. Now listen about this firstborn. Let's see about restoration and recovery, redemption. When the Lord saw this younger son, what he saw him, he had wasted. That means he had set it north and turned and broke his covenant and went after his own fleshly and carnal desires. He wanted his independence. So he came to his father, I want my independence. I don't want to serve you and follow you no more. Israel told Jehovah that. And the church world, in many cases, are telling Jesus today, we ain't going to follow if you're going to follow. We want our independence. We want our freedom from you. And many individual saints do that. And they break their covenant, and they break the heart of the Lord. When they break the covenant, Jesus wept because they break his heart. But he doesn't give up on us. Now let's move on about these two sons, the recover and restoration. Read. When he saw it, let's see. Let's start at verse, go back to, yes, restoration and recover.
And the word of God says, and the sons.
Verse 14.
Verse 14, start at verse 14, okay. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and it began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he had came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And now I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, kill it, and let us eat and be merry. But this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father have killed the fatted calf, because he have received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said unto him, Father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which have devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost in his crown.
The devil is a conniving liar and oppressor. He would take a failure in his sight, a stumbling or rebellion, and try to seal it forever and steal the legacy of people. He would have did it to Peter when Peter denied the Lord. He would have devastated Peter if the Lord Jesus hadn't stepped in. Now listen, the firstborn Israel was God's firstborn son. Now let's look at these recovery and redemption. Israel was God's chosen firstborn, special people, the natural, biological, because many of them were not spiritual. They had a covenant, but they didn't keep the covenant. They kept breaking the covenant. Israel was the firstborn. Now let's look at the firstborn. The restoration from 1829 was the firstborn to 1929, and they utterly failed. They derailed it. They corrupted it just like Israel did. And you know when Israel broke into all these fragments, and you see how the restoration broke into all these little fragments and began to worship these strange things, the restoration began to worship all these strange things, just like this firstborn, he began to worship. Restoration began to worship things that were not of God. Let's see. Firstborn Israel. Firstborn restoration. Yes, you may be the firstborn in your family that make a covenant with Christ. And on you, the weight of the whole family. Now, listen. The younger son, the firstborn, there's a lot in that. When the younger son, remember, though the redeemed, the Israel of old, the fleshly Israel covenant, his chosen people, there was another son in the father's heart before the foundation of the world. Not just natural Israel, but another son. That son was called the redeemed. The redeemed, we call it the redeemed church of Jesus Christ. He had two sons in his heart, the natural sons, Israel, the firstborn, but he had another child in his heart, another plan and purpose. They were the adopted, redeemed sons of God. Hallelujah. That was in his bosom, in his heart, from the foundation of the world, just like Israel of old. But listen, the first part of restoration, he knew they were going to fail. You not know God knew that when he gave from 1820, he knew that they was going to corrupt and fail?
Amen.
And some of them was left over, a few of them. He always leave a remnant of faith. And they were called the Temple Lot group. Now he gave the other born son a second chance to recover themselves in this generation, and they have failed. Okay, now, how are we going to recover from this recovery? We got to look at the plan of God. Go back to Israel of old. And go and look what the Lord God had before it was known that he was going to bring forth a redeemed people who called the church. We call it the church, the body of Christ, the redeemed sons of Christ, the spiritual sons, the adopted sons, the heirs and joint heirs. Now, when his firstborn came to himself, the restoration in 1829, they didn't really come to themselves. But at that time, and they haven't still fully come to themselves. Do you know restoration have not come to themselves yet?
Amen.
I mean, okay, I got to get off. I got to get a sister. They got 15 minutes. So I got to get off of this recovery and redemption. The father saw this son when he did arise. A set time as he appointed for Zion to arise. You know what it says? God has given a set time and Zion shall arise. Now, we're in that period now where the set time, where the Zion shall arise as a people and a nation. You're seeing the nation, America, falling, but also to give birth to a new beginning. How? A remnant in America. Ishaka. As a remnant in Israel, was constantly giving rebirth. Let's see. The restoration birthed a son, and their leadership and their head, they thoroughly crumble and fail and corrupted themselves. Israel did it three times. We have done it two times. No, three times. Israel did it three times. The restoration has done it three times. Hallelujah. But there's a recovery. There's a restoration. Listen, in the book of the Revelation by the seven churches, it represents something very important. Each church age, each church represents something important that we have to be recovered and redeemed from. And listen, the first church in Revelation said, Ephesus, you have left your first love. This is what the restoration, what Israel did. And this is what the church world has done in these last days. You left your first love. You've forsaken me. If we, as Christians all around the world, don't return, and this applies to all believers in Christ. But I want to stop here about the recovery and redemption of the two sons. Which part that you don't understand when the father saw the son who had wasted his life, wasted his good, and he came to himself in set time. And he said, I go back to my father's house. The first thing the father saw him, he saw it, and he had compassion. Did he say that? Had compassion?
Amen.
Then the second thing he did was what? He fell on him and kissed him. You know that represent, and he kissed him. This stinking, rotten, no good, rebellious, treacherous son who has forsaken him, he's kissing this guy. He's hugging this guy. His heart is open in love.
Amen.
All right. Where's the sisters at? I took most of their time. Where are the women of God? Where you at? Where you at?
Well,
okay.
They'll be coming on in a minute.
Oh, I guess everybody going on dinner. This is Friday. Everybody going in the dance and picnic, and I understand that. Having a good time with the kids and family. And, you know, I think that every family in Christ should take time and for their family. This is very important. Jesus demonstrates this a lot. People need to enjoy their family, their loved ones, their friends, not only the work of God. Of course, the work of God is always important, but he meant for us to be as a kingdom of priests and to show that we are to have the kingdom revealed on the earth, and we're to have lives. Unless you've been totally called with a calling called a monk calling, a eunuch for God. Now, if you got a eunuch calling, a eunuch, then that's a different story. Okay.
Well, brother, we want to welcome on Sister Anderson. God bless you, Sister Anderson.
God bless you, brother. God bless you. I'm not at home, but I'm listening, and I thank God for redemption.
Amen.
Okay, I got Sister Helen. She's always busy, but she got kids and grandkids and great-grandkids, and she's always 90% fire busy. That sister's always out helping somebody, carrying somebody's burden, helping her grandkids, her grandkids, her daughter. She's always in the helping business. By the way, Brother John lost his brother. His brother passed away. His name Sylvester in Detroit. So he's in Detroit with his brother's funeral. I thought I mentioned that.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
That tells us we got a work-wise day when night coming. No man can work.
Amen.
Amen.
So.
Amen.
I said to myself when I'm tempted to feel sorry for myself. I said when I'm tempted to feel sorry for myself in kind of any way, you know. Then I had to redial and say, you feel sorry on your own time. You're on my time now. You ain't got time. You're on my clock now, so you ain't got time to feel sorry for yourself. When you clock out, then you can feel sorry for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this time,
but
amen.
When you, hello?
Amen. I was agreeing about feeling sorry for yourself. And this day and time in the light of what's going on, we don't have time for that.
Yeah, well, if you want to take a little break and feel sorry for yourself, but don't do it on God's time. Amen. He said, I understand why you had to have a little pet party and pet on, but then just don't do it on my time. You're wasting too much energy. Just do it a little bit on your own time. When you got nothing better to do, then you can go to the Pitty Pat Corner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we all go to the Pitty Pat Corner. It's how long you want to stay there.
Yeah.
Some people want to stay there for months and years, sister. The devil said, stay there a little longer.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, he's a rotten, no good devil. Broke wing, one-eyed devil.
Yes, he is.
Oh, okay.
We want to welcome on Sister Helen. We want to welcome Sister Helen. God bless you, Sister Helen.
Amen. God bless. Amen.
Amen.
I've been enjoying the message they're going for. Continue on, Brother Lee.
No. This is women's now. No, ain't no continue on, sister. Y'all got to say that to something to the women of the world. We're not letting nobody get in the way. No. This is, no. Y'all got to say something. All the women of the world are waiting. Women around the horn. You know, y'all got to, pump up the oil.
Amen.
Prime the pump.
Amen.
Put some water in it.
Yes, sir. Amen. And I thank God. And just around the world. I would say open your heart and confess and come to Jesus Christ and receive your redemption and your inheritance. Your inheritance. And I just thank and I praise the Lord because he says that all we have to do with our mouth that confess that the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God has raised us from, he was raised from the dead and we can be saved. The baptism can come after that, but to the women of the world, stand up.
Yes.
See your redemption and your inheritance, because
yes.
I tell you, that devil is not playing around.
Amen.
He is not playing.
Okay, Sister Helen, have you heard the disaster that happened in Beirut? And how the women are devastated. Around the world, there's different happening with Beirut. They had a big blast over there. You can imagine the women and the children and the mothers and different ones and disasters around the world. Do you have anything that you would like to share with them? There's Beirut and Lebanon. There's different areas.
Yes. Yes, as I was looking at that last night, praying, for those families, over there, and they just have to just look up and lift their eyes unto the hills from which some of their help, how truly their help is going to come from the Lord. And praying that the Lord would give them comfort and peace, because that truly that was a tragedy, over there. And we just continue to, keep them up, keep them covered, before the Lord. Amen.
Okay, would you have anything to say to the families, Brother Nate? They killed Presbyterian ministers, I think, in India recently, five ministers, Presbyterian ministers, who refused to deny their faith, so they cut their heads off. I think the Muslims, mostly Muslims, it may be other, but Muslims mostly they believe in cutting people's head off. So these five Presbyterian ministers gave their lives, refused to deny their faith, and rather they died as the martyrs for Christ, and they cut their heads off. So we don't have no time to be feeling sorry for them. These people around the world are suffering so much difficulties from nation to nation. We got to get our eyes on the nations of the earth and their concern for our brothers and sisters and many people in many nations and have compassion and reach out to them, whatever way God gives you to reach out to these people, these nations.
Amen.
With deep concern. Sometime you need to go on net and try to, reach out. This is nation's time. I think that the eyes get, often we get narrow, too focused on local issues and forget the message of hope is to all people who are going to terrible, women are going to certain things, family things, no food, no husbands, different areas where we need to address their concern and reach out to them and have compassion.
Amen.
I think we need to understand that the gospel of the kingdom is for the all of the world.
All the world.
And the more you sow to somebody else's need, God will meet your need. If you have compassion and begin so compassionate mercy to other people, the Lord will answer and rescue you in your need. So give and it shall be given you. If you good, if you give, it shall be given you good seed. And spend your time giving good seed, sowing good seed of hope, help, and deliverance to other people, the Lord will speedily answer our prayers.
Amen.
Yes, he will. He will. Amen. So start ministering wherever you can find a person, whether it's in Lebanon, Ethiopia, Beirut, or whatever.
Yeah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen. All right. Yeah.
Thank Jesus. Amen. We thank God for another blessed broadcast today. Don't forget another Heart to Heart tomorrow night at 7 o'clock p.m. Look for the advertisement. Praise be to God. It's truly indeed a blessed day in Christ Jesus. We thank God for all of you that have been listening. Ask for Brother Lee and Brother Nate. Sister Tig and Sister Anderson, we love you all. God bless you.
Amen.
God keep you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless.
God bless.
God bless.
God bless.
God bless.
Change me, oh God. Make me more.